Good morning. Today's daf is Arachin Daf Yud. We left off yesterday at the Mishnah on the top of Yud Amud Aleph. Today we're going to learn one Mishnah and cover a bunch of Gemara related to that Mishnah. The Mishnah again is going to continue with the theme of minimums and maximums. And today we are going to talk about the minimum and the maximum number of tekios that they would blow each day in the Beis HaMikdash. And then we're going to segue into the minimum and the maximum of the number of various instruments that they used to play in the Beis HaMikdash. And the they who play the instruments is generally the Levim. We'll see a possible exception at the end of our Mishnah. And we are then going to talk about the various qualities of the instruments and how they sounded and the type of materials that they were made out of in order to, and how many were played at each time in order so that they would sound very, very pleasing to the ear. So much more simple than yesterday's Gemara, thank God. So let's get going. So says the Mishnah on the sponsorship. Thank you. So today's shiur is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. We thank Dr. Landerer again very much for the continued sponsorship. It's been so long that we tend to take it for granted and we forget it. But thank you very much for the reminder and special thanks to Dr. Landerer and his family. So says the Mishnah. Ein pochasen me esrim viachas tkios b'mikdash. We do not have fewer than 21 tekios in the Beis HaMikdash. V'lomosifin al barm v'shmona. We never have more than 48. So the Gemara over here, and Rashi, for that matter, on the Mishnah, doesn't even explain how exactly we derive these numbers. Rashi refers us to the Gemara in Maseches Sukkah, but if you cross-reference the Gemara over there, you'll see that the number of tekios is derived as follows. That each day they would blow three tekios. We'll see exactly what the tekios were in the Gemara as well, whether it was tekia through a tekia and counted as a single unit, or whether we're counting each sound as a separate unit unto itself. But they would blow three sounds with the shofar when they would open up the gates. They would blow nine when they would bring the Tamid Shel Shachar, and another nine when they would bring the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. And when they would bring a Karban, they would blow the Tekios, not when they would Shech the Karban, but if it was a Karban that had Nesachim that came along with the Karban, when they poured the Nesachim, they would be blowing the Tekios. So on a regular day, you always have a Tamid Shel Shachar, you always have a Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, 9 plus 9 is 18. They always opened up the gates to the Azara is another three, and therefore 18 plus 3 is 21. You never have fewer than 21 tekios in the Mikdash, and never more than 48. And the Gemara Sukkah explained that that when they would bring the Karban Musaf, they would blow an additional 9 tekios. And on Erev Shabbos, there were an additional 6 tekios, 3 to tell the people to stop Malacha, 3 to tell the people about the onset of Shabbos. On Sukkot, they would blow an additional 9 tekios at the time of Nisach HaMayim, and another 3 tekios when they would do the mitzvah of Arava. So it turns out that on Sukkot, they would blow an additional 12, so it's 21 plus 12 is 33. And then on Shabbos, they would blow an additional, on Erev Shabbos rather, they would blow an additional 6 tekios, which is another plus six. So it turns out that on Sukkot, which falls out on an Erev Shabbos, then they would blow in addition, and they would also blow an additional 9 tekios when they would bring the Karban Musaf. And so it turns out that when you have Sukkot that falls out on an Erev Shabbos, where they would have the Tamid Shel Shachar, the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, and the Karban Musaf, and they would blow, and they would do the Nisach HaMayim, and they had the Mitzvah of Arava, and they were blowing for the opening of the gates, and they were blowing for Erev Shabbos, the 6 tekios, it turns out you have a maximum number of 48 tekios. The truth is that on Erev Pesach, it happens to be that whenever the nation would bring the Karban Pesach, they would say Hallel, and they would blow tekios for each time that Hallel was recited in the Azara when the people were shechting the Korban Pesach, Hallel was recited very many times because there were at least three groups of people who would come and they would bring the Korban Pesach. And each group required many recitations of Hallel because there were so many people. They were packed in the Azara. The blood in the Azara was flowing until it got up to the legs of the Kohanim, to the knees of the Kohanim. So obviously there were many more tkios blown then because they were just repeating Hallel over and over and over again so many times. So it's possible that the reason that this isn't brought down by the Gemara and Sukkah is because it doesn't happen every year that, for example, if Erev Pesach falls out on Erev Shabbos, so it turns out that not only do you have all of the extra tkios because of reading the Hallel, and you have the extra tkios of a Friday, and the regular tkios of the Tamid Shel Shachar, Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim, and the opening of the gates, because that doesn't happen every year, it's not very common that Erev Pesach falls out on Friday, we mention the 48, which does happen every year, because there's always a day of Sukkot, which is going to fall out on Friday, so you'll have the tkios of every day, you're going to have the tkios of Sukkot, and then you're going to have the tkios of Erev Shabbos as well. Okay, so never less than 21, never more than 48. Ein pochasen mishnei nevalim, you would never have fewer than two nevalim, than two instruments called a nevel, three-way machlokas, what type of instrument a nevel is. Some say it's like a kinor, some say it's like a harp, others say it's a wind instrument, so it's sort of like a flute, and others say that it's a percussive instrument, that it's almost like a drum. So either it's a string instrument, a wind instrument, or a percussive instrument. It's some instrument. You would never have fewer than two velomosifin al shisha, nor would they ever have more than six nevalim. Why would they never have more than six nevalim? Some explain because if you would have more than six, then the sound of the nevalim, the sound that the nevalim make, would drown out the sounds of the other instruments. It would not be very harmonious. And in pochasin mishnei chalilin, you would not have fewer than two flutes, v'lo mosifin al shneim asar, nor would you have more than 12. Why wouldn't you have more than 12? So Rashi points out that 12 is keneged the 12 days that the chalil would be maka, would be played by the Mizbeach, as the Mishnah explains right now. Vishnei Masar Yom, Bashana Chalil Maka Lefnei HaMizbeach. 12 times a year, they would play the Chalil by the Mizbeach. Why is it called Maka? And Rashi explains, because the Chalil, the flute, is obviously an instrument that you put in your mouth, and there were holes on top of the flute, and the way you make different sounds come out of the flute is you have to move your fingers on and off of the holes on top of the flute, and it's as if you're hitting the top of the flute. That's why it says maka. So again, a minimum of two, a maximum of 12, keneged the 12 days that the chalil is played in front of the mizbeach. What are those 12 days? Says the Mishnah, b'shchitas Pesach Rishon, u'b'shchitas Pesach Sheni, the time that the Pesach Rishon is shechted, when Pesach Sheni is shechted, v'yomtav Rishon Shel Pesach, first day of Yomtav, v'yomtav Shel Aseres, Shavuos, u'b'shmonis Yemei Chag, and 8 days of Sukkot. V'lo yamake ba'avuv Shel Nechoshes, they would not play with a copper flute, ela ba'avuv Shel Kana, rather with the reed flute, mibnesha kolo arev, because the sound of the reed flute is sweeter. Vloya machlik elabavuv yichidi, and when they would finish the song, and all these instruments were played at the time that the Levim said Shira, every time they said Shir Shalyom, there would be a singing accompanied by the musical instruments, and whenever they would finish the musical rendition, they would always end with a single flute. Why? Mimneishu machlik, because it's a very pleasant ending, because they would always have one, the most pleasant way to end a song is when you have all the instruments ending in unison, and then there is one that lingers a little bit longer. That's the most pleasing. If they all end together abruptly, it's a little bit less of a pleasant, it's a little bit less of a pleasant sound. Now, who would play the chalil? The avde kohanim hayu, and the people who would be makah the chalil, the people who would play the chalil, were avadim of kohanim. Divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says no, they were not avadim. Mishpachas beis pagrim ubeis sipra. They were the family of beis pagrim and beis sipra meyamom from this place hayu. Masiyim Lekahuna, that they were Yisraelim Miyuchasim, they were a very pure Yichus, and therefore they would marry their daughters off to the Kahuna. The Kohanim back in those days were Makbid to marry only people of very fine Yichus, so they were not Avadim of Kohanim, rather they were regular Yisraelim. Rav Chanina ben Atiganus Omer Leviim Ayi. Rav Chanina ben Atiganus says, no, they were Leviim. This Machlokes, it should be noted, is only with regard to the Chalil, with regard to all of the other instruments, everybody agrees that they were Leviim. It's only with regard to the Chalil, we have a three-way machlokas. Were they Leviim? Were they Avde Kohanim? Or were they Yisraelim? In tomorrow's Gemara, we're going to see what this machlokas is based on. So says the Gemara as follows. For starters, we had said that the first set of minimum and maximum that we brought down in the Mishnah was the number of tkios every day. We said a minimum of 21, a maximum of 48. Says the Gemara, Masnisin Delok Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, because we have in the Brisa that Rabbi Yehuda says, Hapoches, one who the minimum number of tkios lo yivchos misheva is not fewer than seven. Vahamosif, and the maximum number of tkios lo yosef al sheish esrei, that you do not have more than 16 tkios. And Rashi says that obviously the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama is every time they would blow a tkia through a tkia. So the Tanakama of our Mishnah is holding that the tkia, the true and the tkia, they're all counted as separate sounds. And therefore you have 7 units, 7 times 3 is 21, or you have 16 units at maximum, 16 times 3 is 48. Rabbi Yehuda is going to count the tkia through a tkia as a single unit, and therefore his minimum is 7, his maximum is going to be 16. Says the Gemara, but my kamiflagi, what are they arguing about? Rav Yehuda savar tkiya through a tkiya chadi. Rav Yehuda holds that the tkiya through a tkiya is a single unit, and therefore it's counted as one. Rabbanan savri tkiya lechud, through a lechud, tkiya lechud. The Rabbanan say, no, each one is counted individually. So you or Rav Yehuda say 7 sets of tkiya through a tkiya, I hold, says the Rabbanan, or we hold, says the Rabbanan, are actually 21, because each one is counted individually. So my time is Rav Yehuda. What's the basis for this machlokes? Because ksiv uskatem trua, it says uskatem, you shall blow, the lashon of tkia, but then it says, what do you blow? You blow a trua, uksiv, and it says trua yiska'u, that you're blowing, but what are you blowing? You're blowing the sound of a trua. So you're blowing a trua, but it says tkia. How's that? Shmamina, tkia, trua, tkia, chadehi, ah, because it's each a single unit. So if it's all a single unit, I understand why when we're using the verb tkia, we're saying that which you blow is a trua. But if a tkia is a separate entity and a trua is a separate entity, then it doesn't make sense to say that I'm blowing, I'm being tokeya a trua, I should be matria trua. So that's Rav Yehuda's, that's the basis for Rav Yehuda's shita. Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan say, Noah, who lepshuta lefaneo, pshuta lachreo, who diyasa. Everybody agrees that when you're blowing a trua, it's preceded by a tkia, and it's followed by a tkia. So when it says uskatem trua, the reason that it says the verb uskatem is because that's referring to the tkia that you actually do blow before and after the trua. So says the Gemara Vayter v'Rabbanan my time at dechsev uvahakil es hakol. How about according to the Chachamim, the pasuk that says that when they would gather the nation tisku'u v'lo sariu. So it says that when they would gather the nation, they would blow the tkia, but they would not blow the trua. Says the Gemara, Visal Kadaita Tkia Trua Tkia Chadihi. And if you want to say that Tkia Trua Tkia is a single unit, then says the Gemara, the Chachamim's rationale would be, Samar Rachmana Avid Palga de Mitzvah. Is the Torah telling me to do a half a mitzvah? So it's obviously a raya, says the Chachamim, that a tkia is a standalone unit and a trua is a standalone unit. That's why when I'm gathering the nation, I'm going to blow a trua, but I'm not going to blow a tkiah, because a truah without a tkiah has some sort of utility, because each one is a separate unit. Says the Gemara, Rav Yehuda, but how about Rav Yehuda? So according to Rav Yehuda, tkiah, truah, and tkiah is a single unit. But if a tkiah, truah, and tkiah is a single unit, of what utility is it to blow a truah without a tkiah? Says the Gemara, Rav Yehuda, Semana Ba'almahu. Says the Gemara, in a chanami, you're right, if we were blowing l'shei mitzvah, then it wouldn't make sense to blow only a truah without a tkiah, because a tkiah, truah, tkiah is a single unit. Over here, they weren't blowing l'shei mitzvah. There was no mitzvah of tkiah shofar. They were signaling to the nation that they should all gather together. So it was sort of like an announcement, like an announcement over a PA system to assemble for roll call. So that wasn't blowing a tkiah or blowing a truah for the purpose of a mitzvah. That was only to notify the nation that it was time to get together. That's why they were able to blow the truah without a tkiah. But in a chanami, had it actually been for a mitzvah, they would have been blown as a unit. Says the Gemara now, Kaman ozla ha diyamar Rav Kahana. So who does this brisa go like, that Rav Kahana says, ein bein tkiah l'truah v'lo klum, that there is no difference between a tkiah and a truah. There cannot be any separation, no differential between a tkiah and a truah at all. Come on, Rav Yehuda. So who is that like? That's going like the shita of Rav Yehuda. So why? Because Rav Yehuda had said that it's a single mitzvah, that the tkiah, truah, tkiah is a single mitzvah. So it follows that if it's a single mitzvah, if it's going to be a single unit, that you can't have any break, you can't have any hefsek between the tkiah and the truah, and the tkiah that follows the truah as well. There is a machlokas between the Tosfos HaRosh and the Ritva as to whether, according to Rav Yehuda, you were allowed to pause between the tkiah and the truah long enough at least to take a breath. The Tosfos HaRosh says that there can't be any gap, but the Baal Kore is allowed to take a breath between the tkiah and the truah. But the Ritva says no, that according to Rav Yehuda, if it's really a single mitzvah, you got to blow the tkiah, truah, tkiah with a single breath, which would be very, very difficult to do. So even though we today paskin like the Chachamim, and we hold that the tkiah is a separate mitzvah, the truah is a separate mitzvah, this idea of whether or not you're allowed to take a breath between the two kolos does come into play. It has a practical nafkamina lahalacha. Why? Because we blow on Rosh Hashanah, we blow a shofar, that the sound, one of the sounds of the shofar that we make is the Shvarim Teruah. So the Shvarim Teruah is also, it's a conglomeration of the Shvarim and the Teruah. The question is the Baal Kore allowed to take a breath between the Shvarim and the Teruah? That is a single unit. So it turns out that according to the Tosfos HaRosh, he would be allowed to take a breath, just like the Tosfos HaRosh would hold that even Rav Yehuda, who holds that there were a single unit, would say that you're allowed to take a breath between the tkiah and the truah. According to the Ritva, who says that you're not allowed to take a breath by the tkiah, truah, tkiah, according to Rav Yehuda, we would also hold that by the shvarim truah, which is a single unit, the Baal Kore is not allowed to take a breath between, the Baal Tokeah rather, is not allowed to take a breath between the shvarim and the truah. So says the Gemara, okay, so you want to prove to me that the brisa that holds that you're not allowed to have any hefsek between the tkiah and the truah is Rav Yehuda. Says the Gemara pshita, that it's pashat, it's obviously the shita of Rav Yehuda. Says the Gemara, no, not so pashat. That mal detema afilu karabanan, I would have thought that this even goes like the Chachamim, and Rashi says, and what it means when it says ein bein, that you're not allowed to have any separation, it doesn't mean that they literally have to be a single unit, because the Chachamim don't hold that it has to be a single unit. What it means is that you shouldn't dilly-dally and wait unnecessarily between the tkiah and the truah. In other words, don't waste any time. Do it as close together as possible. So maybe that's going like the Chachamim. Ula fuke mit Rav Yochanan. It says the Gemara to exclude the shita of Rav Yochanan. Diyamar shamat kesha tkios b'teisha shos b'yom yatsa. That Rav Yochanan says that if you hear 9 kolos, which is the minimum number that you have to hear mida oraisa, over the span of 9 hours during the day, then you're going to be yotze. Kamash Malon, so comes along the Chachamim, and they say, based on this other brisa, no, we disagree with Rav Yochanan. Even though there might not be a requirement that you blow the tkios and the truos v'neshima achas, there is a requirement that they at least be blown close together. So you are not allowed to hear the nine tkios over the span of 9 hours during the day. Says the Gemara of Ema Chanami. So says the Gemara, well, maybe you are allowed to hear them over the span of 9 hours during the day. Say, Imkain, my velo klum. So if that's the case, so what does it mean when it says, so it says the Gemara of Ena Chanami. So how do we know that this is a raya to Rav Yehuda? Maybe this is actually like the Chachamim, and it's just saying that you have to blow them in close proximity and that you're not allowed to blow them over the span of a full day. Says the Gemara, Imkain, my velo klum. It didn't say that simply the tkiah and the trua have to be close together. What it says is, ein bein tkiah l'trua velo klum, that you're not allowed to have any hefsek. So saying that you're not allowed to have any hefsek is already mashma like Rav Yehuda, who holds that the tkiah and the trua are a single mitzvah, and that's why it's the case that you're not allowed to have any hefsek whatsoever. Okay, says the Gemara, now Viter, two dots. So shneim asar yom b'shana makeh b'chalil. There were 12 days during the year when they would play the chalil. Says the Gemara, Maishnahani, why those 12 days? We had said the first, when they would bring the Pesach Rishon, when they would bring the Pesach Sheni, first day of Pesach, the day of Shavuos, Minat Torah, 8 days of Sukkot. Why on these days would they play the chalil? Says the Gemara, Hol v'yachid gomer b'emes ha'halal, because a yachid completes the halal on those days. Damar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon ben Yod Sadak, Shmona asar yamim she'ayachid gomer b'emes ha'halal. There are 18 days where an individual completes halal, meaning that he says full halal, Shmona yemei achag, and those days are 8 days of Sukkot, Ushmona yemei Chanukah, and 8 days of Chanukah. Rashi immediately points out 8 days of Chanukah. Why don't we mention the 8 days of Chanukah in our Mishnah? And Rashi answers that the reason is because on Chanukah there's no special korban. We were talking in the Mishnah days when you would play the chalil and you would have a special korban. Obviously, on Yom Tov there's a special korban musaf. And when you're bringing the Karban Pesach, that's the special Karban that you're bringing when you bring the Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. So anyway, the 18 days that a Yachid completes the Hallel, 8 days of Chanukah, V'yom Tov Rishon Shal Pesach, first day of Pesach, V'yom Tov Shal Atzeres, and Shavuos, Uvagola. So we have the 8 days of Sukkot, the 8 days of Chanukah is 16, first day of Pesach, and the first day of Shavuos. Uvagola Esrim Ve'achas, in Golos we add another couple of days, another 3 days, because Tisha Yemei Achag, Ushmo Yemei Chanukah, still only 8 days of Chanukah in Golos, Shnei Yamim Tovim Shal Pesach, Ushnei Yamim Tovim Shal Atzeres, and 2 days of Yontev. So the Gemara is going to focus on why on Pesach it turns out that we're only saying full Hallel on the first day of Yontev, but on Sukkot we're saying Hallel on every day of Sukkot. The Rishonim deal with why this list is very different than the list in the Mishnah. Over here we have a list of 18 or 21 days. We start mentioning Pesach and we start mentioning other days, but we don't mention the day that they would bring the Karban Pesach, even though they would say Hallel when they would bring the Karban Pesach. And the answer, so some of the Rishonim explain, could be because when you bring the Karban Pesach, yes, they say Hallel, but the Yachid is saying Hallel as a Yachid. Over here, when we mean Yachid Gomer Elam as a Hallel, we mean that the entire Tzibur, no matter what you're doing, whether you're bringing the Karban, whether you're not bringing the Karban, everybody is completing Hallel on those days. So maybe that's why the Gemara brings a slightly different list than the Mishnah. But right now we're going to tackle the question, very famous question, why is it that on Sukkot, every day of the Yontif, we complete the Hallel, whereas on Pesach, we only complete the Hallel on the first or the first two, if we're in Chutz Laretz, days of the Yontif. Says the Gemara, Maishna b'chag d'amrina kol yoma, Maishna b'pesach d'lo amrina kol yoma. Why is it on Sukkot we say full Hallel each day? Why is it on Pesach we don't say full Hallel each day? So says the Gemara, Dechag Chalukim B'Karban Aseyem. Because on Sukkot, there's a different Karban each day of Yontif, and therefore each day warrants a separate Halel Shalem because of the different Karban. De Pesach in Chalukim B'Karban Aseyem. On Pesach, there is no chiluk in the karbanos. You would just repeat the same karban each and every day, and therefore there's less of a reason, there's less of a simcha, and less of a reason to say full halal. So that's the answer in the Gemara. Of course, we all know there's a famous medrash that explains why we don't say halal each day of Yontif, and the medrash brings down that the Malachim wanted to say Shira Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the nace of Kriyas Yamsuf, and the Mitzvah were drowning in the Yamsuf, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, it's inappropriate that Masa Yadi Tovim B'Yam Vatim Omrim Shira, that the Mitzriim are going to be drowning in the Yamsuf, and you guys want to say Shira, so it's not appropriate. And once you're not going to say Halal Shalem on Shvi Shal Pesach, it's an embarrassment to Yontif that I should say Halal Shalom on the days of Chol HaMoed. So once I'm not going to say Halal on Shvi, we don't say full Halal for all of the days of Chol HaMoed, as well as the last day or days in Chutz Laretz of we're not going to say it on the last days of Yontif as well. So this reason that the Medrash brings down is needed because there were two reasons why we would say halal. One is that we're saying halal because of an added simcha of the karban. The second reason that they would say halal is because there's a chiyuv to say halal b'shas hanes. So the Medrash is alluding to the following issue. I understand that generally on Yontif, you don't want to say, on Pesach, you don't want to say full Hallel because there is no separate Karban. How about the seventh day of Pesach when there was a Nes performed for the Bnei Yisrael? And Lechora, the Bnei Yisrael should have to say Hallel B'Shas HaNes because they went through the Nes. That's why the Medrash brings down the reason, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it's inappropriate to say Hallel during a time when human beings are suffering. That's why we need the separate answer that's found in the Medrash over and above the answer that's found in our Gemara. Okay, now the Gemara continues two lines, second line down from the top. So Shabbos, the Chalukah B'Karban Aseyah Lema. If the criteria for saying full Hallel is that the day has to have its own Karban, how about Shabbos? Each day of Shabbos, we bring a special Karban Musaf. So why don't we say full Hallel every Shabbos? Lukra Moed, because Shabbos is not called a Moed. That's one of the other criteria. Rosh Chodesh Ikra Moed Lema. Let's say full Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. Obviously, we only say half Hallel, which is not even a Daraisa. It's a separate Takana to say half Hallel. So maybe, but Rosh Chodesh is called a Moed. So if the criteria is that it's called a Moed and it requires its own carbon, Rosh Chodesh has a carbon Mosaf and it's called a Moed. So why don't we say full Hallel? So Loikdish Basias Malacha, because there is no Isser of Malacha on Rosh Chodesh. Therefore, we don't say full Hallel. Dichsiv Hashir Yelachem Kalel Ischodesh Chag. That Laila Amakudash Lachag Ta'an Shira, V'shei Mekudash Lachag Ein Ta'an Shira. So again, we're adding a third layer of criteria to when you say full Hallel. It's got to be a day with a special carbon, and it's got to be a day that's called Moed, and that Moed on which you're bringing a special carbon has to be a day on which there is an Isser of Asiyas Melacha. Says the Gemara, Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippurim Dikra Moed Viktish Pasiyas Malacha Lema. Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippur, where we bring a special Karban Musaf, and it's called a Moed, and there's an Isser Malacha. Why don't we say full Hallel? Says the Gemara, Mishum de Rav Avo. It's for the reason of Rav Avo. The Amar Rav Avo, Amru Malachai Yashoris Levnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malachai Yashoris were being Mekatreg on the Bnei Yisrael, and they were saying, Takadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Bnei Ma'in Yisrael Omrim Shira Lefanecha B'Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippurim. Why don't the Jewish people say Shira in front of you on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Amar Lam, so he said to them, So Efshar Melech Yoshev Al Kisei Dadin, Vesifrei Chaim, Vesifrei Mesim, Psuchim Lefanav. Is it possible that the king is sitting on his throne? And the Sifrei Chaim, the books of life and the books of death, are open in front of the king. The Yisrael Omrim Shira, and the Yisrael, the Bnei Yisrael, are going to be joyously saying Shira? No, that's a very inappropriate look. And the Achronim already explained, it is true, La Halacha, that a person is supposed to go into Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur with a sense of confidence that the person is going to receive a mechila for all of his averos, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to listen to his tefillos, that there's a very big difference between confidence and celebration. You have to be sort of guardedly optimistic. But certainly to say Hallel and have such a simcha on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is very inappropriate. Says the Gemara, V'achanaka d'lo achi v'lo achi. Hang on a second. You were telling me that the criteria for saying Hallel is that it's got to be a moed, and there's got to be an Isser Asiyas Malacha, and there's got to be a separate carbon. In the Gemara, we said that you say, the Gemara earlier in Amud Aleph, we said that you say Hallel on Chanukah. Chanukah, there is no separate carbon. There is no Asiyas Malacha. It's not called a moed. What's going on? Why are you saying Hallel on Chanukah? Answers the Gemara, Mishram Nisa, because there was a great Nes. One of the reasons that this fits into the Medrash that we brought down, Lagabe Shvi Yishol Pesach, one of the reasons to say Hallel is because of the separate carbon, etc., etc. Another reason to say Hallel is if there was a great Nes on that day. That's why we're saying Hallel on Chanukah. Says the Gemara, Purim Dika Nisa Lema. But Purim, where there was a Nes, also a great Nes performed for the Bnei Yisrael, we should say Hallel. So Rav Yitzchak, Lefisha Eim Omrim Shira Al Nesha B'Chutz Laretz. Now, the problem with Purim is that Purim was a Nes that was performed in Chutz Laretz, and we don't say Shira, we don't say Hallel on a Nes that was performed in Chutz Laretz. Says the Gemara, really? Maskeflor Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak Vare Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yitzias Mitzrayim. And Kriyas Yamsov, we're not going to say Hallel, but on the first day of Pesach, we're saying Hallel, commemorating Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Nesha B'Chutz Laretzu. It's a Nes that happened in Chutz Laretz, Varmin and Hallel, and we're saying Hallel. So Kedetanya, no, there's a reason for that. Achelo Nichnesu Yisrael La'eretz, Huchshru Kalaretzus Lomim Shira. Until the Bnei Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, it was permissible to say Hallel on a Nes that happened anywhere. However, Mishen Nichnesu La'aretz, once they entered Eretz Yisrael, Uchshru Kol Aretzos Lomar Shira, then it became inappropriate to say Hallel for a Nes that happened anywhere outside of Eretz Yisrael. So at the time of Kriyas Yamsa, if they hadn't yet entered, and that had not yet entered Eretz Yisrael, of course we were allowed to say Hallel for that. Once they entered Eretz Yisrael, you're only allowed to say Hallel for a Nes that happened in Israel, not a Nes that happened anywhere else. Rav Nachman Amar, Rav Nachman gives another answer, Kriyasa Zui Halela, that the Kriyasa Megillah is effectively the Hallel. The Rambam brings down the reason of Rav Nachman as the Halacha, and therefore says the Meiri, that in a place where there is no Megillah, and they can't lay in the Megillah, La Halacha, they should say full Hallel, because the Gemara just told us over here, Kriyasa Zui Halela. The Shulchan Aruch, however, says that we don't say Hallel on Purim, period. And he doesn't mention, oh, but if there is no Megillah, then we do say Hallel. Why doesn't the Shulchan Aruch mention this exception? So the Pachad Yitzchak answers, I saw in this insights to the Daf Yomi, the Pachad Yitzchak answers that Rav Nachman is really telling us there are two types of miracles. There's a Nes Nigla and a Nes Nistar. And therefore, there are two types of Hallel. For a Nes Nigla, which is an obvious miracle, we say Hallel because it's obvious that we're saying Hallel. For a Nes Nistar, like the type of Nes that happened on Purim, there's a mitzvah of saying Hallel, there's a mitzvah of praising, but the Hallel that we're saying should be a very subtle Hallel. It has to be a Hallel that's Nistar, just like the Nes itself. So we conceal the Hallel by saying it through the form of Kriyas HaMegillah. So it's true that the Kriyas HaMegillah is a Kiyam of Hallel, but it's a Kiyam of Hallel that can't be replaced with a real Hallel. Because a real Hallel is only for an Nes Nigla, not for an Nes Nistar. All right, says the Gemara now, Vayter, second wide line. Rav Amar Bishlam Asam, Hallelu Avdei Hashem Velo Avdei Paro. Now, there's a big reason why we would say Hallel by Kriyas Yam, by Yitzias Mitzrayim, rather, and not by Megillah, and not by Purim. Why? Because by Yitzias Mitzrayim, at first we were slaves to Paro, and then after that we were redeemed. Hacha, Hallelu Avdei Hashem, Velo Avdei Achashverosh, Akati Avdei Achashverosh Anan. But over here, we can't say that we used to be Avdei Hashem, that we used to be Avdei Achashverosh, now we're Avdei Hashem, because we're still Avdei Achashverosh, we're still subjugated in Golas. Says the Gemara, and that's why we're not going to say Hallel, but says the Gemara, Rav Nachman Yamar Kriyas Azui Eleila, but according to Rav Nachman, who says that the Kriyas HaMegillah is Hallel, Hatanya Mechshinuthzu La'aretz Lo'uchshiru Kol'aretz Lomar Shira, how can it be that we read the Megillah on Purim, aren't we commemorating an ace that happened in Chutz Laretz? I thought we only commemorate Nisim that happened in Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Kivan Shagolu Chazra La'Tera Rishon. The only time that you only say Hallel for a nes that happened in Eretz Yisrael is when the Bnei Yisrael are in Eretz Yisrael. Before the Bnei Yisrael went to Eretz Yisrael, i.e. Yetzias Mitzrayim, after the Bnei Yisrael were exiled from Eretz Yisrael, i.e. the Nes of Purim, then we do say Hallel for Nisim that happened outside of Eretz Yisrael. All right, says the Gemara in Avaiter, V'hoya Maka Bavuv Shal Nechoshes, the Mishnah rather said that they would not play with a copper Avuv. Says the Gemara, just picking up on the discrepancy, first we were calling it a Chalil, now we're calling it an Avuv. So Pasuk B'Chalil U'Messayim B'Avuv, at first we call it a Chalil, then we say it's an Avuv. Amar Papa, Hainu Chalil, Hainu Avuv, Amai Korele Chalil, the Chali Kole, it's the same instrument. Why do we call it a Chalil? Because its sound is very sweet. Tana Rabbanan, says the Gemara Vayter. Avavoye b'mikdash, there was a flute in the mikdash. Chalakaya, it was smooth. Dakaya, it was very thin. Shalkanahaya was made out of reeds. Umimos Moshehaya, it was from the days of Moshe. Tziva Hamelech, the king commanded. The Gemara, nor did the Mefarshim explain which king this was, but somebody who wanted to quote make improvements to the instruments, Vitzipeyuzov, and he wanted to cover it with gold as a sign of wealth. And opulence, v'loya kola arev, but its sound wasn't as pleasing as it was before it was gold-plated. Natlua sipuyav, they took off its gold-plating, v'loya kola arev, and again, it started making a very sweet sound. Kamoshaya, similarly, tziltzalai b'mikdash, there were a pair of cymbals in the base of mikdash, shal nechoshesaya, they were copper, v'loya kola arev, and they made a very sweet sound. V'nifkam, and they were damaged. V'sholchu chachamim ve'viu umnim Alexandria shel Mitzrayim, and the chachamim sent and brought the craftsmen from Alexandria in Egypt. V'tiknu, and they fixed the symbols, voya kola arev. However, they didn't make as sweet a sound. Notlu estikuno, they reversed the repair that they had done, voya kola arev. And then once again, it made a very sweet sound. Kamosha haya, similarly, machtesh esayi b'miktash, there was a mortar in the base of miktash, shel nechosh esayi, it was copper. Moshehaya, and it was from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'haisa mifatemes es absamim, and it would prepare. They would use it to prepare the besamim. The reason that the mortar is mentioned here is because, just like the musical instruments, the mortar would actually make a sound when they would bang when they would prepare the ketores. And it says actually mivnesha kol yafal besamim, that this sound was very instrumental in the preparation of the ketores. Nispagma, it became damaged. Veviu umnim Alexandria shel Mitzrayim v'tiknua, and they again sent for the Alexandrian, for the Egyptian craftspeople, and they fixed it. Lo yisim mefatemes kamo shoisa, but it didn't do the job. Nutlu estikuna, then they reversed the repair. Vaisim mefatemes kamo shoisa, then once again it went back to doing the job very, 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 very well. There's a question, how is it that they were able to repair the machteshes, the mortar? There's a halacha that we don't repair klei shoreis because ein anias b'makom ashiras, that we don't manifest any symbol of frugality in the makom ashiras, in the Beis HaMikdash. And one answer is that the machteshes is different because it's not a klei shoreis. The halacha of ein anias b'makom ashiras applies only to the klei shoreis, but not, for example, to the instruments. And that's why they were able to prepare the mortar, to repair the mortar, rather. Or some answer because there was no other one like it, and therefore they were allowed to repair it. Or because even a klei shoreis is permitted to be repaired if it's still serviceable in its damaged state. This one was still serviceable. They were trying to make an improvement. However, it wasn't. It didn't work. It wasn't as good as it used to be. Says the Gemara, Elu shnei kelim, these two kelim, meaning the mortar and the chalil, nishtayru mimikdash rishon, they remained from the mikdash rishon v'nispagmu, and they became damaged. V'lo yaleim arucha, and there was no way to be repaired. V'aleim amr David, and on those, David said, nechoshes memorat, thin copper, nechoshes memorak, shiny copper, v'aleim u'omer, klei nechoshes mutzhav, they were gold-colored. Shnayim chamudos, they were very precious. What does that mean, shnayim chamudos? Rav Shmuel, chadamar kol echad v'echad shakol k'shnayim shel zav, each one of these copper kelim were as valuable as two of gold. V'chamamam shnayim shkulim k'echad shel zav. No, that copper is a lot cheaper than gold, obviously, but two of the kelim together were equal one of gold. Tanur Rav Yosef, Shneim Shkulim Keechad Shel Zav, that they were one, the two of them were equal to one of gold. Tanya Rav Nosson Omer, Shneim Hayu, there were doubles, there were two sets. Shneimar Shnayim, Al Tikru Shnayim, Ela Shneim. So Tanya Rav Shim Gamliel, Shiloach Hayim Akalei Chmayim Keiser. The Mea Shiloach, the Shiloach spring, would have a flow of water. It was only as wide as an Iser, very, very narrow. Tziva Melech Verchivu, so the king commanded and wanted to widen the Mea Shiloach, Kadei Sheyisrabu Meimav, so that the waters would flow more vigorously, even as Matu. However, it had the opposite effect, that the water, the flow of water, actually got even slower. It trickled. The Chazru Miatu, then they narrowed the Shiloach again, Vayim Akaleach Mayim, and then it began to flow water naturally again, Lakayim Ashenemar, Al Yishal Chacham Bechachmaso, by Yishal Gibor Bigvaraso, that you shouldn't try to make these man-made improvements. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu made things is the best way. That there was no herdavlis in the mikdash. What is a herdavlis? My herdavlis. Amrabaya tavla gurgada. It's a bell with a clapper. Why wouldn't they have a bell with a clapper? Mnesha kolo arev, because its sound is very sweet. Other, the aruch explains mnesha kolo av, because its sound is very thick. It's very loud. And it disturbs the melody. And therefore, when they would play the musical instruments, they would not play with a bell and clapper, so as not to disturb the melodious sound of the symphony in the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll stop here. We'll pick up from the two dots, God willing, tomorrow morning. Well.